Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I love tea, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington, and thank you for being here. Thank you, new listeners, new followers. I get new followers every single week. Don't ask me how all of this stuff, who knows how everything works, but thank you for being here. Reality Spirituality, happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. What the hell? Who? What? Who is she? Yes, I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and you are welcome. You know, I was thinking about my introduction because, you know, I get new people all the time. And sorry for you people that have been with me for a few years. You've heard the same things over and over again. But I've been thinking about it, and, you know, listen, this is a Christmas gift in October. I'm up here doing the heavy lifting. What is a happiness specialist? Well, what I share with my audience is how to experience more happiness on this journey we call life. And happiness, there is a formula to it. And it is a practice skill like anything else, like being an athlete, like being a speaker, a doctor, a musician, a gardener, a chef. It is a horseman. It is a practice skill. And so what I do on this show, on Reality Spirituality, is just teach you, share with you what to practice. Share with you what to practice. And all it is, it's very simple concepts. There are common behaviors that we were programmed that subtract from your happiness. Common everyday behaviors. Behaviors like having expectations, blaming other people for how you're feeling, living in the past, living in the future, having a judgment, having a preference, complaining, getting embarrassed, taking anything personally, worrying. I mean, that's just a small snippet of the behaviors that subtract from happiness. And so the secret is, when I say happiness is a practice skill, so the more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice. You know, you get out of anything what you put into it. It is a daily practice, the better the results. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize happiness over everything else? And your answer will determine how much happiness you're going to experience on the journey. It's very simple. The first part of the practice is eliminating behaviors that subtract from happiness. I mean, it can't get any simpler than that, audience. Eliminating behaviors that subtract from happiness. And then the second part of the equation is practicing behaviors that are guaranteed to add to your happiness. And let me define happiness for you. Especially for my new listeners, my definition of happiness is to be able to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. The ability to be at peace, the ability to be rooted in peace. In other words, that's your foundation. Your foundation is peace and happiness, peace, contentment, satisfaction, all of that is the same vibration. It is the same energy, if you ask me. Now, if you ask someone else, they might have a different answer. But when I say happiness, I'm talking about walking around this planet, strutting around this planet, navigating through this planet, and being at peace. Shoulders down, lots of exhales. You know, one of the things, shot out of the cannon today, one of the things that really bothers this happiness specialist is, well, bothers for a minute. And let me share with you, one of the things that I practice is, if there is something that bothers me or pushes my buttons or really annoys me or I find myself judging, because all of those things, I mean, you can't be annoyed and happy at the same time. You can't be irritated and happy at the same time. So one of the things that I found is, one of my practices is to be able to rejoice quickly and recover quickly. That means that whatever vibration you're in, celebrating, and you just remember, hey, it doesn't last. And neither does the storm. So all storms come to an end. But one of the things, because yesterday, and I've shared this on my show, just because I'm a happiness specialist doesn't mean that I don't get involved in this world from time to time. And what happens is when I'm feeling irritated or angry, I like to describe it as a volcano erupting. Now, the volcano erupts when it's time to erupt. I get angry, or I get, you know, the label of anger, angry, irritated, bothered, annoyed, when it's time. But attaching a story to the emotion, attaching a story to the vibration, is the first problem. Because now we're believing in the stories. Oh, this is why I'm angry. Oh, this is why I'm irritated. It's because A, B, or C did this to me, or the scratch that did this to me, because nothing is personal. That's another thing. Taking anything personally subtracts from your happiness. And this is an impersonal universe. Impersonal universe. So back to the example. If I can remember it. Oh, the volcano erupting. So yesterday, and it's funny because, listen, there's something to this moon, this full moon. And, you know, I can feel myself getting, ugh, somebody says hi to me, shut the hell up. It's not that. It's not that bad. I was exaggerating with that, but I can feel myself just like a volcano beginning to feel, okay, it's time to hibernate. It's time to get away from people. It's time to isolate. It's time to go in the house and just veg out. Because I'm telling you right now, when I'm out and about and I'm got this volcano going, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, they call it just, let's see, what do the humans call it? They call it having a bad day. I'm mad. I'm mad. I've been angry all day. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. The stories behind that feeling, is not the truth of why you're feeling that way. It's just time for the volcano to erupt. And when you practice letting go of the stories, because the stories keep you in this cycle, this circle and the stories compound on each other, and the stories have legs, and now you've got the stories, and of course you're justified for all the stories. It's true. The stories are true, right? So one of the practices is getting rid of the stories. So yesterday I had one of those volcano days, and I just, 12 o'clock, my day was over. I said, nope, and it started, it was so crazy. It started with the water class that I teach on Saturday mornings, and I got a note not to give the lifeguards a nickname. I give everyone a nickname, not to give the lifeguards a nickname, and I was calling the lifeguards LGs. Hey, good morning, LG, good morning, LG, for lifeguard. And I get a note that says that it's hurtful, be respectful, for calling a lifeguard LG. Now, listen, that's one of the stories. The truth is, for whatever reason, it was time for that feeling of irritation, anger, and annoyance to happen. I don't even know why I told you that story, but I just thought it was really funny that is the world getting to a place where the words and the offenses, the imaginary offense, and I'm here to tell you that there is not one word or one activity that anyone can do to offend you, and you think that it's them, but I'm telling you, you were programmed to be offended. You were programmed to be offended over words because you were taught to be offended. And whatever you learn, you can unlearn. Let me get to today's topic. Did I give the definition of happiness? My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And I don't know about you out there, but I think being happy is the number one, because what about all these people that have everything but are very unhappy? I don't need to give you the list. I don't need you to give me the list. Anybody that displays anger, you can't be angry and happy at the same time. And I'm talking about this herd anger, this anger of being following the herd. Okay, let me get to today's topic. When I say happiness is number one, I've cited this on the show before, but I get new listeners every week. And one of the five most common regrets of the dying, this was a study done by a hospice nurse, was that she studied her patients who were dying within 2 weeks to 2 months to 3 months, is one of their biggest regrets was not being happy. I think it's up there. I think it's number one. That's just me. And back to me being a happiness specialist. When I say I'm doing all the work, it is a day in, day out, every moment conscious, being aware, being self-aware, monitoring self. Am I judging? Am I not judging? Because all judgments subtract from happiness. What is my vibe? Oh, my vibe is this. And it's always being in tune with self-consciousness, always being self-aware. We weren't taught to be self-aware. We were taught to react, as opposed to respond. But let me get to today's topic because, this culture, whatever you want to call it, this time in history, and I'm only going to talk about the United States because I don't live anywhere else. Gee, that's stating the obvious. I don't live anywhere else, and even where I live, even in the United States, I still haven't lived in every state, and every place is different. This place where I'm living now, it's a very small community. It's a very small community, and it's totally different than when I lived in California most of my life. I've only been here, it'll be 3 years in Oregon, 3 years in, last week was 3 years. So it is a community that is night and day from California, totally different. So one of my practices is being open to all people, all possibilities. And the reason why is not because, oh, what a great person you are. No, it's not about me being a great person. It's about me wanting to be at peace with my life and myself. It's me prioritizing and making a commitment to being happy. Hey, that's number one for me. Everybody's got their thing, and mine is happiness. And so when I say I've done the work, I've got the answers to the test, people. I've got the answers to the test. You don't even need to take the test. I'm giving you the answers. I am giving you the answers. The answers to how to experience more happiness. And I don't care if you have health issues, I don't care if there's a death in your family, I don't care about the relationships. There are practices that when you practice the behaviors that add to happiness and eliminate the behaviors that subtract, you will be happier. That's it. And I'm giving you the answers. What a nice guy I am. I'm giving you the answers. Today's topic, cultivating hate. You know, let me just, I'm so bothered by, when I say bothered, I'm using air quotes. I don't know if you can see me, air quotes. So bothered by these people that spew all of this hate. And when I say I'm bothered, I'm saying that tongue in cheek because, quite frankly, whatever is happening is in perfect order. I was listening to a song the other day on the radio, you know, top 40 station. I try to stay hip. I try to stay current with the songs. And there's this song. It's called F-2020. That's the name of the song. F-2020. People hating on the year 2020. People hating on this year. Now, listen. Granted, this has been the most challenging. I'm not even going to say the most, but a challenging, challenging, challenging year. From the beginning of the year to the death of Kobe Bryant, and I'm saying that because that was a global, and especially a Los Angeles. I mean, that energy and that town and that, you know, there was a vibrational shift when that happened. It was felt all over. It's the same kind of vibrational shift when any big tragedy happens. Now, I'm not comparing Kobe's death to 9/11, but that kind of vibrational shift and that kind of energy that just everyone is feeling, So a lot of energy here. Then we have this COVID, and then we have the lockdowns. And the lockdowns, you know what this whole COVID is doing? It is exposing people for who they really are. It is because you never know anyone until they're challenged. You never know anyone until they're sick. And when I say sick, I really mean physically sick. Whether it's a cold or whether it's COVID or whatever it is, you never know a person until they're challenged. I'm just letting you know that. So when you meet someone and you have a nice dinner and you're talking and you're laughing, you don't know who they are until they're challenged. So this COVID has exposed so many people and who they really are and what they are and what is their foundation? What is their foundation rooted in? Fear, uncertainty. I'm just going to keep it with fear. Fear. There's just so much fear that's been exposed. Who knew there were so many people that were so afraid? I had no clue. But now we get to, to top it off with the fear ingredient, now throw in hate. And let's see, I don't remember what day. I think it was Friday. Listen, this is not a political show. This show is not about politics. This is not, but this show is about how to experience more happiness. And I'm here to tell you that when President Trump went, you know, to the hospital because he had COVID, and I heard, because I can't listen to the news. It's too hateful. And I heard that there were people on Twitter wanting him to die. And listen, he didn't have to go to the hospital to have people wanting him dead. That's not it. But to be able to spew all of that hate, and it's not even about him, it's about anyone. from an athlete, and I had to check myself too, because there are some people in the sports world. If you know, I'm a big football and basketball fan. Well, not basketball anymore. Losing the football thing too. You know, people evolve. Definitely not a basketball fan anymore. What was my point? So this divide. Oh, when I say I had to check myself, I had to check myself because there are some basketball players that I'm not too fond of. However, this is the point. Not too fond of, and not too fond of their platform, let's say that. And this is the point. The point is, wherever you're pointing your finger and you make a description, and you give a description, and of course it's all negative description and all disparaging, and they're horrible people. I heard somebody in Costco the other day talk about one of the candidates for office, and they said, he's a coward. And you know what I said to myself? I was just over, you know, I'm walking through the aisles, and I heard a couple people debating, going back and forth. He's a coward. And you know what I thought to myself? This person that called someone a coward, he's a coward. However you describe someone else, that is who you are. Whoever you hate, it is really self-hatred. There's a very famous story. It's a very famous story in the Bible, and this is not a religious show, but the Bible has a lot of very good lessons, excellent lessons. And one of my favorites is, when Moses was trying to get the hell out of Dodge, and he said, "Let my people go," and "Let my people go," and Pharaoh didn't want to let him go, and he told them, "You can make bricks without straw." I'm going by the Ten Commandments, the movie. I'm not by the Bible. I just remember the movie. But I know it happened in the Bible. I don't remember the order. And then he ordered locusts on the Israelites, and then he ordered, I don't remember all of the plagues that he ordered. And then the last plague was, the last thing that Pharaoh ordered was that all the Jews, all the Israelites, their firstborn was going to be killed. That was his proclamation. He said, He was really pissed off. He was trying to control. I mean, let's go. There's nothing new under the sun. Pharaoh was really pissed off. He was trying to control his slaves, and he by doing you know, being mean and you know, being mean. That's what an understatement. Being cruel. And so his last decree was, The first child is going to be killed. And then Moses said, "Oh, big mistake, buddy. Now you did it, because whatever came out of your mouth is what's going to happen to you and your people." How's that for a New Age way to tell that story? Whatever came out of your mouth, Mr. Pharaoh, is what's going to happen to you. And as the Bible tells the story, that the firstborn of the Egyptians, not the Romans, of the Egyptians, their firstborn was killed by the Holy Spirit. Killed. My point is, whatever you wish and whatever hatred you have for someone else, I just want you to know, I'm letting you know, it is going to be boomeranging. You're putting a boomerang out in the universe, and it is going to come back and whatever you're wishing on someone else is going to be activated on self. You think I'm running around here not My mother died and she gifted the house to the handyman. And yeah, there was maybe a month, 2 months, I hated the attorney. But you know what? That can't stick. It can't last. Because if I did continue that hatred, if I did continue that emotion, I'm making myself sick. Hatred is just like the coronavirus. It spreads like wildfire, and you will fall to it. You will fall to it. The universe is very, very clear. There is a cause and an effect. Why do I talk about happiness? It's not because, oh, I just want to feel good. No. It's about whatever you're putting out there is going to boomerang on you. That is a fact. You know, they found this Saddam Hussein. Do you remember the guy that had more money, palaces, ruled Saudi Arabia? I think it was Saudi Arabia. I'm a really bad history person. Saudi Arabia. They found his ass in a hole, in a ditch, and then they hung him. What I'm telling you is the people that hate, you are just like the football player. The football player's name is Plexico Burris. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he shot himself in the foot. He shot himself in the leg. So when you spew hate and you wish hatred and you wish death on someone else, I don't care who it is, you are going to feel the effects of it. You are going to feel the effects of it. The other person doesn't feel crap. They're not going to feel anything. So my point is, whatever you spew to someone else, and however you describe someone else, and this was a hard one for me. This was a hard one for me. There's no way. These people are judgmental. These people are fill in the blank. Guess what, audience? Guess what? I was behaving the same way. And listen, you can get anything done. You can, without the hate energy is what I want to say. That hate energy is like drinking poison. That hate energy is a virus. You can take action without hating. But without the energy of hate. That energy of hate is drinking poison. I keep telling you, you know, and I shared with you the story from the Bible. Let me see. Can you be happy? Is it possible to be happy when you hate? It is impossible. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about a peace in your soul. In your soul. Hey, Nathan, I shared the story. This is a long time ago. Now I'm going to say it anyway. My father-in-law died a few years ago, and the sister of my ex-husband did not want me to come to the service. I mean, can you imagine how much hate that is? Can you imagine, and then spew to the children? So what I'm saying is, I don't have to do anything. I could sit and have dinner and have lunch with her tomorrow. But can you imagine hating so much? Can you imagine hating so much? And all I'm saying is, all I'm sharing, just like I hate this blue jay right out here, no, all I'm sharing is that hatred for anybody, I don't care who it is, what they've done, what they've said, you are the one that is going to be suffering from it. You are the one that's going to be suffering. This hating this year, hating 2020, hating someone, wishing someone dead, you are the only one that is going to suffer from that. I'm reading my notes. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, hate. back to hate. Okay, I was just reading this. Hate, again, is a virus. So when I say, when I'm talking about hate and cultivating hate, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you, my dear audience, is there someone, a group, and it doesn't even have to be a person. It could be a group, the opposite political group of who you are. See, even a group, hate is hate. It doesn't matter where you direct it. What matters is that it is killing and killing. It is a cancer in your own heart and soul. You think I want to sit around and embrace and love? And I can't. When I say I can't, it's for selfish reasons. I can embrace people that would rather not see me prosper or say, let's just be nice. Have a dislike for me, a dislike. I mean, come on, I could name at least five right now off the top of my head. But I cannot give it back. Now, there were years and years, most of my life, I was giving it back. Oh, I hated, and I hated with a vengeance, and I was proud and justified in my hate. But I'm letting you know that all of that is just going to turn around and boomerang and affect you. And you might as well just drink a cup of poison every single day. This cultivating hate, because somebody is different than you. Now, listen, I'm not talking about having these people that are so different. This cancel culture, I'm not saying that you have them over for dinner or lunch, because there are some very core values. And when I say core values, what I mean is I'm talking about people that are trying to control. No, I won't even say that, control. People that are trying to control and also trying to, how do I say this, take away other people's freedom. See, that. What do I want to say? My point is taking away someone else or trying to take away someone else's freedom or look at someone else and criticizing them. Those are the people, and I'm telling you right now, I can be in the same room. I can even hug them. I can even have a conversation. But as far as inviting them into my core circle, because we don't have the same values, I don't want to control anyone. I don't want to take anybody's freedom away, unless, of course, you know, there's a difference between rules and the law. There's, you know, if somebody murders someone else, of course they're locked up in jail. It's a big difference. So I'm not taking anybody's freedom away unless they've committed a crime and taking anybody's freedom away. What I'm trying to say is there's a difference. And so those people, it's called compatible energy. I was trying to explain myself, but it's called having compatible energy. And there are people that are compatible with wanting to control someone else and wanting to take someone else's freedom. That's compatibility either. But I'm looking at that. I know that that happens, but I can't hate them. I can't hate them, because hating is a vibration that does absolutely nothing but destroy, rot, cancer. It is a virus that spreads. There is no, let me see, is there anything good that comes from hate? Wow, what a good question. Oh, hold on a second. I think Nathan, yes, hold on. Is there anything good that comes from hate? What a great question. Welcome to Reality Spirituality, Nathan. What's the answer to that question?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think that's a good question, too. I'm thinking, is there anything good that can come from hate? The only thing I'm thinking of for me is that I know about it. If it's happening in me, I will say all the way from hate to dislike. But if any of that's going on for me, it does point to something about myself that I can adjust to bring in more peace. I mean, it's like it's almost like a roadblock sign or a U-turn sign. And just like the rules of the road, you know, we have the speed bumps, we have the U-turn, we have the stop sign. Sometimes I need a U-turn sign. And that hate to me is a big U-turn. U-turn, red flag, stop, danger, danger ahead.
You don't remember this one. This is before you were born, but it's a very famous line. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. It was from one of my favorite television shows, Lost in Space. That was before you were even born.
I remember. No, I do know that line, though. But I haven't seen the show. I think I saw the new movie that they did. Is that right?
Oh. So I have a question. I have a question. This is a question I'm asking you. What do I do with you said U-turn, yes. What do I do with people that hate? The hatred is such a overtaking, powerful emotion that it repels me. It repels me. It's like opposite magnets. I go the other way. And then I'm also very aware if I feel that, and I can, and see, there's a variety. There's this, I could, because, you know, basketball, I have my favorites, and then I have people that I are not my favorites. But even that is so, as you would say, so soft and so light that I can drop it in a minute, because there's something about hating and then letting go of hate, hating and letting go for a moment or having that anger for a moment, 2 moments, 3 moments, or even an afternoon. But the ability to let go of it, the ability to not be attached to it, the ability to, okay, I hated this, and now I'm over it and letting go. See, that's another angle, too. That's another practice, too.
I totally agree with that being a different practice, because I'm just thinking about what you said earlier. The word you used was cultivate hate. And to me, that means there is the hate, and then it feeds upon itself. It's like you said, drinking poison. So it's almost like, yeah, we drink a poison, and then we just drinking the poison, keep drinking it, drinking it, drinking it. That to me is cultivating it, which is different than drinking a sip and then putting it down. And I think that's the challenging part, is the putting it down. Once you realize, if you imagine blindly drinking something and not knowing what it is at first, and then just knowing by the taste, if it tastes like hate, then the next logical thing to do with hate / poison is to put that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
So do we know what that is? Do we even know what that tastes like? I don't know.
I challenge you, my dear audience. I challenge you to find hate tasting good. I challenge you to find that there is anything good about tasting hate. And then I go back to that. It's one of the examples that I've used. And I want to go back to what you said, because you're right. This cultivating hate, now it's a snowball. Now this is cultivating hate, cultivating hate, cultivating hate. And what what are you doing with that? It is such a destructive, I'm using words and labels, it's such a dark place to be and live and cultivate it. And there's no way you can feel light, you can feel peace, you can feel contentment when you're cultivating hate. It is impossible. I think it's impossible. It's impossible. But back to the example, there was and I've said this example before, but there's so many new people and new followers that it's you can look it up on YouTube. It's a less than a 2-minute video. Nathan, you know what I'm talking about, the Green River Killer? Do you remember that story?
I do, and yeah.
So the Green River Killer, this guy that murdered, 70 to 80 women, prostitutes, and then he's getting sentenced, and all of his victims and his victims, not his victims, but his victims' family, all they could do was spew hate to him. And I wish, I want you to burn in hell. You can go on YouTube and just say Green River Killer crying. And it's 2 minutes. It's a really short clip. And they're damning him for life. I hope you suffer, burn in hell, on and on and on. And then this one gentleman got up there, and his daughter was killed. He killed his daughter. He murdered his daughter, and he said that I can't wish any hate on you. I'm paraphrasing. He says, I forgive you. And it was then that man, the man that murdered all these women, broke down crying, broke down. This cold-hearted killer murdered women in I know this is a happiness show, and he broke down. So my point is that there is no power, there is no peace in hate. None can be found.
Yeah, go ahead. I think that's really clear. If someone is hating, you're talking about drinking poison. It's really they're doing it to themselves, and to be upset with them for doing that. Or I think it's, this isn't rocket science that if you're hating, you're not feeling good. And it's like, and for him to kill people or rape people, he probably didn't feel good doing it. Or I'm sure that didn't bring a whole lot of peace. So it's like, your question of what do I do if other people are hating, if you use the analogy of them drinking poison, you see people poisoning themselves, is there that, I think it's having a lot of understanding of what's happening, and that's not really, I don't want to say that's not really them, but it's like the lowest, I would say, I would argue that no one wants to be feeling that, that's sick. It's like they're almost sick if they're drinking poison. So how would somebody, what do you do when you have a sick person in front of you?
Right. And it's not almost sick. I'm going to say sick, but now we're getting into a little bit. We're getting into the truth, and what you said was, what do you do with that? And so it's not even an understanding. For me, it's an acceptance of, okay, so in this world, I'm going to have people that hate. This isn't the first time. 2020 isn't the first time we've had people hating and wishing dead on other people. So it really comes back to the practice of accepting it all. And all I'm doing on this show is to share with anyone who wants to share that if you hate, you're not going to be at peace. And that's really quick and easy and the truth. So I see it, and my practice is to accept it, but I definitely know that there is no peace there. And checking myself with the, I don't like, I can't stand this basketball player, and I have all my list of reasons. And if I hold on to that, I do not feel good. It is not a good, easy, peaceful place to be. It's just not a good, peaceful place to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm just feeling, I'm feeling a little reactive around the part, you know, if I'm not doing well, I don't want anyone to tell me I'm not doing well and that's bad for me, how I'm acting or how I'm doing. That doesn't feel like acceptance to me. That feels like someone telling me I shouldn't be upset at someone or I shouldn't be mad at them. I know that. I know that already. I know something is going on with me that I don't like. So it feels like, yeah, thanks. I know. I know me being mad is not good and it's not good for me. So help me. How are you helping me or are you just pointing it out to me?
Well, again, the title of the show is Cultivating Hate, and let me say this. I am not here to help anyone unless they ask me, unless they call in and ask me a question. What I'm here to do is to share the reality, spirituality, what's going on in the world, and there is a lot of cultivating hate. There's a lot of energy that is going on. But if there is a question, and the question is what's going on, like you said. I'm just going to speak for myself. If I'm upset or if I'm feeling a volcano for the day, one of the first thing I'm going to do is accept that's what I'm feeling for the day. That's what I'm feeling. And to do what I practice, which is to hibernate, and that's that. Can you add to that? Would you like
that? Yeah, I really like that because now I'm hearing, you know, what happens to you. It's a solution for self. And I can add to that by saying what I do. And I know you use the word hibernate. I like that word too, hibernate. I think when I'm feeling my volcano, when I'm feeling something boiling inside of me, I try to take a pause. And the pause always doesn't happen right away, and I don't know how long the pause is, but it's a moment to just stop what I'm thinking, doing, and just take a moment so that I can adjust. Because it feels like, when you say the volcano, what it feels like for me too is I'm just digging a hole, and I'm just digging it deeper and deeper and deeper until I stop digging the hole. And I say, okay, maybe I don't have to dig a hole deeper. Maybe I can actually start building a ladder and get the F out of this hole. Change my perspective, maybe. You know, I really like that word cultivate. Because it to me, that's I think of momentum. What am I fanning the flames of? Where am I going? What am I cultivating, growing? Mm-hmm. And which direction am I growing in?
Well, see, this is another point that you just made and is very, very important for this. It is just practicing self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Practicing self-awareness, looking in the mirror, practicing self-awareness. I mean, that's key. It's either you are an individual practicing self-awareness or, no, that's not the true statement, but this herd mentality, herd, H-E-R-D mentality is just be aware, and make decisions for yourself. Make decisions for self. one person, one vibration of peace shifts the vibration of this planet.
I'm into that. I mean, that feels like the only job that I have is myself.
Exactly.
I'm doing that my job by, yeah. And I do,
and
I definitely.
Know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to.
You know what? No, go ahead.
I was just going to agree with the self-awareness because I really am all I have as far as what I know and what I feel. And that's the closest thing to truth for me. And I have it to work with all the time. And that awareness moment to moment, the more I practice it, the more it comes and the more I'm able to notice even what's going on with myself. And that is really valuable to me. Because if I don't know what's going on with me or what I want to do next, then I'm a bit misguided.
Mm-hmm.
I feel misguided. Yeah.
Okay, so now you brought up the other point, which I love, which is besides the self-awareness, and I've talked to the last couple of weeks. I talked to two people, and they asked me a question, and I said, well, this is what I observe, and they. This being programmed to respond because A, B, or C, or D, or E, F, G happens, sometimes this awareness, because I was not taught to be self-aware, I was taught to follow a program. And so what I like sharing today and what you shared today is to be aware. See, there's a lot of non-awareness, and whether it's non-awareness is going to happen, it is going to happen, it's not going to happen. All this show is reality, spirituality is to, okay, be aware, self-aware. You have the power. You are empowered to practice certain different behaviors than the herd practices. You can do something different. You can change. You can make a shift if you are inspired to or not. So it's just a message of being aware of what your vibration and what you're doing.
So I want to go back to that question you asked, which I thought was a really good question. And
okay.
I'd like to know.
What was the question?
You asked, when someone else is spewing hate, what do you do? And I'm curious what you do.
Ooh, that's such a good question. And it depends on every situation because am I trapped in a room with them? Is it something in passing? Is it something when I'm driving and somebody flips somebody else off? I mean, there's so many people that get angry when they're driving. What kind of setting am I in? So it depends on whatever setting I'm in. But if I'm telling you, if it's a one-on-one, if I'm, I don't want to say trapped, but if I'm.
Yeah, maybe I'll refine it just a little bit. Just go a little, even more. I'll take the people out of it, and I'll say, if you notice that energy or the vibration of hate, whether that, no matter where it's coming from, or if it's a perceived hate or wherever it comes from, and whatever the story is or the situation, that energy is present.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
I am repelled. My spirit is repelled, and I don't mean repulsed. I'm not repulsed, but but I repel, I go in the opposite direction. It's a natural being in the opposite direction. It's for me, it's, let's see, how do I say that? Yeah, it's a natural, it's not compatible. And so, and again, but again, it's really too general. It's a general question. Okay, what do I say to someone face to face? I can give you an example. I was face to face with someone and they spewed some hate against, I'm not even going to say which candidate, but they spewed hate and it doesn't even matter which candidate. And I was listening to them and they went on with their hate and their reasonings for it. And I said, okay, well, thank you and have a good day. So if I'm able to leave, I leave because it's now if I'm stuck in a cell with somebody, that'll be a different question. But see, the general questions and for me, something specific, I just know that I'm not going to be around people that hate for too long if I have something to say about it. I'm not going to be around people that are not open and people that cultivate hate if I have something to say about it. I don't care if it's my identical twin. I'll find a way to get to, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to, I got to get away. No, it's not even about running away. It's about walking in the opposite direction after I say my adieu.
Right. It sounds like just not cultivating it on your side. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and you're not gonna find anybody in my circle that cultivates hate. My circle of two people. My circle of five people. You're not gonna find anybody in my circle that cultivates hate. You're not gonna find anybody in my circle that criticizes. Anyway, yeah, no. Any other questions?
Yeah, because you talk. I do have a question on what you just said. Not anyone in my circle. So, because you talked about that funeral, and not being invited, or wanted, or whatever that was, and. Mm-hmm. We talked about this cancel culture, or the way I view that is, I mean, it's such a big topic, but just not dealing with somebody or choosing not to for values or whatever that is. And my question is, you said they're not in your circle. Is that because why is that? Is it because you hate them and that's why they're not in your circle, or they're just not in your circle because that's what you...
No, not at all. I could sit down with your relative tomorrow and have breakfast and pay for it. Easy.
I guess my point is, we don't know if that was hate on you or any reason why people choose to not be with them or not, or have them in their circle or not. It might be because of hate. It might be because of who knows what.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and I can even put a strong dislike if you don't like the word hate. But there are people that I know that have a strong dislike for me. Strong dislike. Strong. And I don't have to use the word hate, but if you know. if something happened to me, they're seeing it. It's like the president now. People that hate Trump, and it's not even a political show, people that hate Trump are wishing him death, that kind of thing. So the people in my life, there are some people in my life that have a strong dislike. But that does not mean that I have a strong dislike for them, because I can't. There's absolutely no way, because I'm shooting myself in the foot if I do. But but that strong dislike, and let me say this, that whole story about going to the service and not going to the service, the truth is I wasn't supposed to go to the service. Now, I could put it on somebody and say, oh, it was their fault that I didn't go. But if I really wanted to go, I could go. So that's another story. See how the stories get all woven in as to be true or not? But there is no story about a strong dislike. That's not a story. That's the truth.
I'm trying to take out the story of why someone isn't in somebody else's circle. That's what I was trying to take the story out of.
Okay, is there a specific question?
I don't have a question. I'm just thinking about, I'm trying to think of myself and people that I don't talk to, or that I'm not interested in, or that I just, like you said, compatible energy. And it feels like, I don't know. I don't want to attach that why they're not in my circle. I'm coming to, because I told you earlier this week when I saw those hate things on Facebook, I really did have this reaction like, well, I don't like you either. And I coupled it with unfollowing them. And now that I'm listening to you, I feel like I can still unfollow them, but I don't want to dislike them. And I think that would chill me out a little bit, because, yeah, I can say, okay, well, this isn't something I want to see on my Facebook, but I don't need to, yeah, just like you said, I can do whatever I want to do without that energy of hate. And it comes back to what you said earlier, because I don't want to do that unfollow with
Nathan.
Disgust.
Nathan,
yeah.
Now I'm getting chills. Because you just capsulized everything that I was just saying. Everything. The whole thing about cultivating hate and that reaction to, as opposed to responding. And there is, it's compatible energy versus non-compatible energy. That's just really simple. You're either magnets that attract or you're magnets that repel. And so I cannot engage in anyone that's incompatible with me, but without any kind of hate and dislike and it's the worst, they're gonna get theirs. No, I can't do that. I can very gently and I like your word softly. Unfollow it's just time to unfollow without the story, but it can be done in a very peaceful, calm. In other words, the emotion attached to it, the disdain and the hate and the rage, the even a little mini rage is what I'm talking about. You don't have to do that. You don't have to feel that. You don't have to experience that, because it doesn't feel good to me. Now, if you want to feel it, if you want to, you know, rage makes you shit. I mean, rage used to, anger used to. Yeah, I'm all pumped. I felt great. I felt great being angry at somebody, and then I get to tell them off too. No, but what I'm saying, it doesn't feel good anymore, and I can still. Hello, goodbye. In fact, the most peaceful way to disengage with anyone is just to disappear. Oh, where are they? I don't know where they are. And then you pop in, and then you, oh, you're just a nice, smooth, clean disappearing act.
I'm really into this, you know, story. I can't stop thinking about attaching the story to it. I like that so much. And I like I like the I'm doing this because it's time, or I'm doing this because that's what I want to do, or that's what I'm inspired to do, and leave it at that. Can I confess a rave story really quick that I haven't told you yet?
Please.
this is for you and any and all listeners, but this is my confession of a rave story. I'm actually very proud of it. So I was in one of my irritable moods, and I was walking outside in the streets of New York, and I went to go take out the recyclables.
Notice you're a recycler?
I'm a big recyclable-er. big one. So I'm doing my thing, and I see a cardboard box at the front of the aisle, the trash and recycle alley that we go to put our trash. I see the box in the front. Well, they have the recycles for cardboard in the back of the alley. It's about 25 feet back to where the box is. And I'm noticing not only is the box in the front, but it's on the floor blocking the aisle. So I really had a reaction to that. And I'll tell you my thoughts. And one of my thoughts was, wow, how lazy. This person just dropped their box in the front when they know they should walk it 25 feet back. I had that thought. Then I had the thought of, this isn't supposed to be here. They're not following the rules. And I did tell you I was a little irritable earlier. Did I mention that part?
I don't remember that. You irritable? Come on.
Well, I may have been irritable.
Leap year?
You know, leap years, I heard, are happening more frequently. I don't know if you heard that scientific fact. But, yes,
no,
I happened to be irritable that day. And then so I decided that the best way to let out my rage was to kick the box. So I kicked the box, and that felt really good. And then I picked up the box to where it landed, and I slammed it against another box. And I did that about 5 or 6 times. And I was a little out of breath after it was done. I felt somewhat satisfied, and no one was around that I know of. No one got hurt that I was aware of. And then I walked back inside. And that's an example of a rage moment that I feel like didn't harm anything or anybody. Maybe it did, but there was something in me that felt like, how can I express this and when? I mean, it was a very quick decision, but let's just say I'm glad I did that to a box rather than to somebody who left the box. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can we put a lid on the volcano? What are we trying to do here?
Well, which brings me to another point that we've discussed before. And let me tell you this. We're all so different. We're all so different. And there are people like you know, I know you were talking about chopping a piece of wood or kicking a box, and you know,
when you were younger, martial art,
always exerting your energy. And, you know, there's some people that I'm going to say you're physically, because you talk about your body and you can feel your body. I think, and I don't know if I'm right, your body needs to release energy.
Yes, yes, I like that. It feels great.
And in a way that, it's not like a balloon, and you release a little bit of air.
Right. No. Maybe sometimes.
Your body is a boulder that bam. So, and that's another thing about being self-aware. This self-awareness is key to finding your own individual peace and custom to you. Listen, I don't know. Is it too late to get in the MMA?
That's what I'm saying. You know, the thing with MMA, I honestly, and this is the truth, I would love to get into a ring with somebody and just fight them. Just punch them and kick them. And throw, yes, I would love to do that. The only thing for me is I don't really want to get punched and kicked. That's why I don't do it. If they come out with padded, everything's padded, cushion, pillow MMA, now I might have to look into that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, really padded.
Well,
You're not into that?
No.
What about verbal MMA? Would you be into that?
Listen, most of my life I was verbal MMA, but I don't have any claws anymore, and my air MMA is gone. Unless I'm in the moment. Unless I'm in the moment.
Right.
Don't fall asleep on me. I mean, I don't. I know.
Yeah,
I definitely know how to do it.
Right.
What?
No, I like that. Listen, you may be retired, but that doesn't mean we forgot how to play. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Listen, just because I don't ride a bike anymore doesn't mean I don't know how to ride it. Get it?
I do get it. I do get it. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been such a pleasure. I love having you on Reality Spirituality. Yes. And so, to sum everything up, can you sum everything up? What your takeaways?
Okay. So I'm gonna do bullets, and you can expand.
Okay, yes,
so one of my bullets is self-awareness. The other one is this word cultivate. And what are some of the other things? Awareness, cultivate, and what am I cultivating? And there was another point about me, my contribution to the world is myself and what I do with that.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to do my bullets. My bullets are acceptance. And my other bullet is, we're all so different. We're all different. And this is a custom. This is a custom journey, custom fit journey. Let's see, what else was I going to say? Oh, and the judging and knowing that whatever I look at and see in someone else and hate in someone else, I really own it myself. That's why I can't. Don't think I wouldn't want to hate on. Don't think I wouldn't want, but it's just so self-destructive, I just can't. I mean, I'd rather eat fried chicken like I did yesterday and chips. Now, that's another story, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really interesting, and what I would like my listeners to take away is that whatever energy you are vibrating is the energy that you are contributing to this planet. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but just know that. That's what your contribution is. I've said that before.
I like that a lot.
Man, well, and thank you again for being on Reality Spirituality. Ooh, this is a long show. I'm going to do our closing.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
No, thank you for calling in. I love it when you call in. Nathan. Okay, so Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This has been such a great show. I love when Nathan calls in. Of course, my website is not ready, but that's okay. No problem there. Follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington and LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a couple of videos on YouTube. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is being written and should be out one of these days. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment will determine and reflect what you practice. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality, spirituality.
Question for RLN.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good. Now.